This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Time to take the economic pulse, views on money, markets, careers, leadership from a variety of perspectives. Today, a reminder about the power of educators. The hours are ridiculous. In some states, the pay is awful, but we all have a teacher or three who changed the course of our lives. Mrs. Abbott, biology, Waterville High, I'm thinking of you. And here's another who makes a difference, director of an award-winning college band in Texas who grew up in Louisiana.
My name is Timmy Zachary. I'm the director of bands at Prairie View A&M University. Prairie View is a special institution. The quality of the engineering program, the quality of the architecture program, the quality of the criminal justice and psychology program, the quality of the pre-med biology program, the quality of the nursing program is phenomenal. But a lot of our students come because they see the band do whatever they do and they say, hey, let me check this school out. Even though I may not be in the band, that looks like a place I would want to be. The resources based on what we do at HBCUs are always going to be geared toward science, STEM. That's just where we are in the 21st century and where HBCUs are. A lot of the band cultures stem out of the late 60s and 70s. So most of the environmental and facilities come from the 70s. And being mindful that the largest band that I've had since I've been here was 410 people. Imagine trying to put 410 people in about 3,000 square feet. Luckily enough for us, they're building a new band facility, which is five times larger than the current facility. We're not trying to kill the environment, so everyone reads music on an iPad, which we had the opportunity to invest in through the university during COVID, which we've fostered and kept going. We're probably at the vanguard of technology with all band programs, not just HBCUs. But it's not out of our desire to, you know, get into the future with the Jetsons. It's out of the desire to stay out of the era with the Flintstones. All bands do the same thing, but it's like the genres that we pull from are more popular, so people are able to connect to them differently. You could play Phantom of the Opera. It's just not going to get a response unless you're in front of people who understand Phantom of the Opera. And that's the allure to HBCU bands. Being synchronized with 360 people and have them turn on a dime in 10 seconds and go a different direction together. That says something about those individuals. It says something about that institution. And I think that even though it may be unbeknownst to the students who are watching it and witnessing it, that is a ploy. That is something that is going to act as a rod and reel and pull them in. I want to be a part of that environment. I want to be, even if I'm just cheering for it, with that. Not very many people have seen an HBCU band live because there aren't that many of them in the landscape of how many bands are in America. Has anyone ever thought about that? There are only 14 bands in our conference. There are thousands of bands across the continental U.S. There are only 14 in our conference, and this is the Power Band Conference. There are no better HBCU bands. For every first-time viewer of an HBCU band that I've gotten to speak with, I say 99 out of 100 of them were in absolute awe. They had no idea that what we were able to do could be done. We don't think about the cost of what a band is to a university and what it actually costs to sustain a band. And of course, they get it back in other ways of revenue. But I'd like for people to use that exposure to expose the fact that we don't have all the resources that we need in order to do this. We just, like I said earlier, we make it happen. To be in a space where not only you're recognizing our talent, but you're supporting it, I think that that would be an ideal space for us. And that would give us an opportunity to perform for more people. Once again, there are a limited number of HBCUs in the country, especially those that have HBCU bands of note. So we're talking maybe 30 bands out of 3,000 across the country. So when you put it into perspective, seeing an HBCU band is kind of rare. It's not as hard as winning the lottery, but it's on the way there. No, I'm not the same. I think that ain't changed. See, something not the same.
Isaiah Pierre. I am a senior. My major is business marketing and administration, and I hold the highest position in the band, which is band captain.
Hi, my name is Dulce Guzman. I am a freshman at Prairie View A&M. My major is nursing, and I play the piccolo. My first time ever seeing Prairie View was in August of the Houston National Battle of the Bands in 2019. There was a band playing, and PV just was like, okay, this is enough. Y'all keep on playing it for like the past 5 minutes. And they just played on top of them. Honestly, I got chills. I was like, okay, this is just a different level of pettiness, you know? Me, I love being petty. Just that moment, I was like, yup. I love that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to roll with that. And so PV was just, it was just my main choice.
I saw that performance and it also gave me chills. It showed that the marching band, the Marching Storm, exemplifies their ability to have confidence and just to, you know, get a little wild. You know what I'm saying? It was the wild factor for me because I've never seen a band do that. They're playing and then here comes PV with this powerhouse tune fanfare that they have and just shuts down the entire stadium. During halftime, you know, a lot of people, that's what your popcorn, your hot dog, your drink time. During halftime here at Prairie View, everyone is in their seats. Their eyes are fixated on the field to see what the Marching Storm is going to do next.
Many of us just love to play these tunes and interact with the crowd. Interacting with the crowd is like one of the best feelings that we ever have, especially when they sing along or they just vibe along with us.
A lot of people have their own, I guess you could say, skewed view on HBCUs. They try to put down historically black colleges. The stigma that people put on HBCUs because of what they come from historically is what I'm trying to break.
It's just every day. There's like no days of like, you know, where we stop. No, we always continue. 5 hours of hard work and practice just for like a 10 or 8 minute show. Sometimes even 16.
A lot of these things you can take off into your real world career because it applies to everything, regardless of what anybody will say. It applies to everything. Being able to work in a team, that applies to business majors, criminal justice majors, nursing majors, biochemical majors, all types of things. You know what I'm saying? Being able to be in a business setting still applies to every major because it's life. And that is what Dr. Zachary and his staff is teaching us. Not only how to be a better band, but also how to be able to live your life.
My band career is stellar. I truly stand on the shoulders of giants. And the strange thing is I can remember every band director I've ever had. And of course, there are those that are standouts. When I was young, my ideas of what I wanted to be were so limited. And they were limited by my environment. I lived in extreme poverty for generations. And it was normal. That was the order of the day. It wasn't until I met Cottrell Wren that I realized, and he helped me to realize, you can do anything that you want to do. You just have to be willing to do the work in order to get it done. You know, there were so many moments that I look back in my life now and I think, I don't know many people that would have gone to the depths that he went to in order to make sure that we were all always okay. He had this thing about saving and he had a chart in his studio. And every time that he would make a deposit, he'd make sure that we saw that he was writing down that he made that deposit and he had a goal at the very end. And that was teaching us financial security in an era where we had no money. No one around us had money. But he was showing us that when you do get money, this is what you need to do with it. And Mr. Wren had such an impact on me as a person that I named both my sons after my favorite trumpet players. As weird as that sounds, my oldest son, his name is Miles Davis Zachary. And my youngest son is Isaiah Cottrell Zachary, named after Cottrell Wren. And that truly has influenced the way I direct my students. I owe a lot to my upbringing in Alexandria. I owe a lot to my family. I owe a lot to people who were not in my family, who invested in me to make sure that I saw myself as more than a day laborer or something that, you know, was normal in my town. That was the epitome of success. There's no note, there's no show, there's no rehearsal, there's no performer that's more important to me, especially in the hard luck cases, as seeing a person go across the stage and get a degree. To me, that is the ultimate gratification in this job, to be able to help someone to help themselves, especially those who come here and they were like I was in middle school. They had no direction. The only things they thought of about doing were things that were not going to help them live long or even sustain their life. But when they come here and they're surrounded by success and they're surrounded by professors who want them to be successful, that even though they come from some of the worst case environments and all these things, and we have students that come from the best, but those students to me, I hold the dearest. Those that were not going to succeed, but in spite of themselves, they do. There's nothing more joyful than that to me.